Open your Bibles with me, please, to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. We're going to continue along the same lines that we have been on for the last couple of weeks, and that is a series that I've entitled Jesus. And in this series, we're going to basically, for lack of a better way to explain it, we're going to shadow Jesus. We're going to look at him in certain situations, in dealing with people, how he dealt with people, what he stood for, what he was all about. And thus far, we've seen that those that society rejects and throws out the back door, that Jesus is waiting at the back door, to adopt as his own. Can I get an amen on that? Right? The woman with the issue of blood, society had shunned her, cast her out of mainstream life in Palestine, and she couldn't interact with anybody, and Jesus was there for her when she needed him the most. Last week we looked at Nicodemus, the original Nicodemite, and how he came with a flattering tongue, approaching Jesus with it, and Jesus cut through all the chase, cut through all the fluff, cut through all the lying tongue, come on somebody, and he looked directly into Nicodemus's eyes and said, Nicodemus, I tell you the truth, you must be born again, or else you will not see heaven. Don't we love a Jesus of truth? Aren't you glad that Jesus is not like some loose tongue politician that'll try to tell you, tickle your ears and tell you what you want to hear? Nobody wants that. Everybody wants a Jesus that'll say, I'll tell you what you want to hear. I'll celebrate your sin with you. No, he's not like that, is he? He loves us, and because he loves us, he's going to tell us the truth. This morning, we're going to look at somebody that was, by all accounts, somebody that was an enemy of the Jews. We're going to look at the Samaritan woman at the well. Now, understand just a little bit of background on the origin of the Samaritans. You know, when God's people begin to multiply, God said, do not intermarry the wives of foreign people. Marry within your own race a Jewish woman, but do not intermarry with foreign people who serve foreign gods. Isn't that right? And when they were in Babylonian captivity, God's people did exactly what the Lord said not to do. And because of that, they created a half-breed race of Jews and these foreign women that we call the Samaritan race. Now understand that the Jews were constantly feuding with the Samaritans. They had nothing to do with them. God's people, who agrees with me, that they took that chosen designation from God very seriously, and they said, listen, I am a pure breed. I am a Jew. I come from the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so they were proud to be Jews, except when they came across the half-breeds of half-Jew, half-foreigner, right? So far, so good, everybody. So they hated each other, all right? And we're going to see now in context a dialogue that Jesus has with this woman, all right? John chapter 4, let's begin reading with verse 3. He, Jesus, left Judea and departed again to Galilee. Notice what he says in verse 4, but he needed to go through Samaria. Can we put up the map, please? Okay, can you see that? There's Judea. Jesus wants to get up here to Galilee. And the route to get from here to here was here. Samaria is way up here, out of the way. So Jesus was going to go from here to here, but he took the long road away from the beaten path, so to speak, just for one person. So Jesus said, we must go through Samaria. How did Jesus discern that? Well, don't you think the Father spoke to him and said, Jesus, we're going to take the circuitous route to Galilee, and instead of going from point A to point B, I'm going to have you go out of the way because there's someone I need you to reach. So the subtitle of this message is, Jesus Reaches the Farthest Soul. This woman had so many strikes against her, and yet Jesus ignores everything she has against her and still reaches her. All right? So far, so good, everybody? Yeah. Say amen if you're following.
Amen.
Thank you. All right, here we go. Verse 5. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour, or what time of the day would it be, church family? Noon. Thank you. Very important to note. All right. Verse 7, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. Verse 8, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Stop there. Did women normally draw water at noon? No. Women drew water at what part of the day? Crack of dawn, right? Because it was coolest then. Midday sun is hot. And so this woman is going at a time in the day to draw water from that well when none of the other women are around. What does that say to you about the other women? Don't you think they were all like cackling hen? Back, 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 back. Do you know that other lady down the street? Ah, back, 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 back. She's a loose woman. Back, 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 back. All right, let's move on. This is my illustrated version, so bear with me. Verse 9, then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? Notice carefully, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Oh, so Jesus gives her an offer. You can ask God, you can ask me, and I will give you what kind of water? Living water. Notice the woman's response, verse 11. The woman said to her, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Notice her response. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. What is she seeing? What is she reading? She's thinking that Jesus has physical water to offer, right? And why would that be an appeal that she would no longer thirst, because she wouldn't have to go every day at noon when the day is hottest for her to draw water, right? Because she's trying to avoid all the other women, all the town gossips, right? I'm not saying that just women gossip. I'm saying that in this context, that's what these ladies were. Apparently, she's hiding something. This woman here in John 4 is hiding something. Okay? Verse 16, Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. Uh-oh. Here comes the Jesus of truth. Very interesting. What does her husband have to do with anything? Jesus is going to get, listen carefully, church family, Jesus is going to get to the heart of the matter in her life. Did it take him long to get there? Oh, no. Remember we said last week that the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. So we're going to see what's in her heart. So now Jesus wants to look underneath the hood of her soul. Okay? And so she says, verse 17, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. Verse 18, for you have had how many husbands?
Five.
And the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. Was Jesus reading her mail? Some of you are getting nervous in your pew, like, oh, yeah, I don't know if I could be around Jesus. He would know about Annie in 1976. Or he would know about me in Woodstock in 1960-something. Let's move on. Okay. Verse 19, the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. And notice what she's going to do. She's going to change the subject away from what Jesus brings up. What do we call that today? We call that deflecting. We conversationally deflect. Who understands deflecting? Who's ever had somebody deflect on you in a conversation? You're trying to talk about something and then they'll just bounce it off of them, off of themselves, and then reroute the conversation to something else. Right? There was, I'm not going to illustrate it with a political situation. I'll just move on. You all would love the illustration, though. But, I'll just say this without mentioning names. There was once a politician. It was a female lady aspiring to run for president. She lost. Oh, gosh, I ratted it out. But they said of her that she was dismissive and deflective. What did she say? She didn't answer the question square on, right? She would just dismiss the question. Or just say, oh, it was nothing, or don't worry about it, or not a big deal. What's that called? They're being dismissive. They're dismissing the conversation. So now this lady is not dismissive, but she is deflecting. Notice, Jesus wants to talk about the man she's living with and her history with men. Now that I say it like that, doesn't that sound like a reality show on television? All of my exes live in Texas. Here we go. Not mine. I'm just saying that would be a good TV show title. Let's move on. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem, the place where one ought to worship. Did Jesus say anything about worship? Jesus brought up her husband, right? And Jesus kind of nailed her height to the wall and saying, listen, no, you're right. You're telling me the truth. You don't have a husband. You've had five husbands, and the dude you're with now is not your husband. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Okay, so verse 21, and she said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Ouch. Did he say salvation is of the Samaritans? Who did salvation come to first? The Jews. But did salvation stop with the Jews? You Gentiles need to give me an amen. Okay. So, moving right along. Verse 23, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. What is Jesus saying? Listen, if you're a true worshiper, that doesn't mean you're automatically a Jew. Reading the Gospels, who discovered that there were people who truly worshiped Jesus, who had a great faith in Jesus, who were not Jews? Right? the Roman centurion, didn't he have a great faith? What about that Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was dying and pleaded with Jesus? And Jesus said, you know, great is your faith. I have not seen this level of great faith in all of among the Jews. Right? So what's he saying? Jesus is extending this Samaritan woman a bridge, saying, listen, if you're a true worshiper, it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Samaritan. He said, true worshipers, those are the ones the Father's looking for. Moving right along, okay? Ah, long story. Verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Verse 25, the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, notice what Jesus is doing. He's bringing it back to himself. I who speak to you am he. And at this point, his disciples came and they marveled. So, do we have verse 27 up there? No. We do? Sorry. Okay, verse 27. My bad. And at that point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman. And yet no one said, why do you seek? What do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? The woman left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the man, come, see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat. Okay, go down with me to verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we have heard for ourselves and know this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Let's stop there. So this conversation was a very brief conversation, wasn't it? Who agrees with me that Jesus understands the value of words, and Jesus just doesn't chatter to chatter? Jesus is he's not a chatterbox, right? He gets to the heart of the matter quickly. Now, what's happening to this woman? Did you notice that during this conversation with Jesus, there is a change happening inside of her heart? Go back with me to verse 9. What if this woman first called Jesus? No. Verse 9. A Jew. You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. Notice verse 11. Then the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with. So she goes from calling him a mere Jew to having respect for him. Sir, go down with me to verse 19. Then he calls her a what, Melvin? A prophet. What's happening? There's an interchange happening while she's talking to Jesus. He's no longer the Jew. He's no longer sir. Now, at this point in the conversation, he's a prophet. Because he told me stuff that I've never told anybody. He told me stuff that the ladies that meet in the morning to draw water from that well, that they talk about me. Rhona Barrett is among them. Who remembers Rhona Barrett? Wasn't she the Hollywood gossip? Kiki, you ain't never lived. Google her. You ain't never lived until you heard of Rhona Barrett. Bless the Lord. All right, here we go. Okay, she called him a prophet. Now she goes back to Samaria and she's asking, could it be that he is the what? The Christ. The Savior of the world. She tells all these people. The Samaritans invite Jesus into their villages. And he stays with them 2 days. his audience grew from one woman to many Samaritans, and now the Samaritans are convinced that he is not just a Jew, that he is not just Sir, that he is not just the prophet, that he is truly the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Can I offer you one last thought, church family? Do you realize that this is the first evangelist in all of the Gospels? A woman with a checkered past. Who would have chosen her? Would you have, let's say in your pastoral search, well, you picked me. Would you have chosen someone with a checkered past? You'd be like, golly. You guys were a tough crowd. You know, I've got a photographic memory. You looked at my, see, this is, I'm thankful now that I don't have Facebook because you can't snoop on me now. But back then, I had my settings on my Facebook account. You know, you can tinker with all of these settings where all you could see were my profile photos. You couldn't see any other photos I posted of my grandkids, of my daughters. No, you didn't say any of that. You saw this dude that thought himself he was a model. Well, I was in college, thought himself to be a model, and he's like, he's stuck on himself. No, we're going to write the too bad. Am I telling the truth, Scott? We're going to write the too bad, so sad letters. Dear Pastor Joe, too bad, so sad. Thank God for Miss Nola, a woman that hears the word of the Lord. I don't know about the council, but anyway, there's one woman, that's all God needs, right? She's about to send off this letter saying, too bad, so sad, and the Lord says, don't. How do you like me now?
Depends on the day.
Depends on the day. Anyway, I say that in jest, but who understands? Listen, church family, the point is, look who Jesus chose to be his first evangelist. A Samaritan woman. The Jews hated her. She's a woman. Listen, men prayed every day. They woke up, they prayed this prayer. I thank God that I'm a Jew, and I thank God that I'm not a woman. And Jesus chose not just a woman, not just a Samaritan woman, but a woman with a checkered past. Listen, who had had five husbands, they all divorced her. How many of y'all would agree with me that this chick must have been really good looking? Well, you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure. You know, here, I'll marry you. Oh, I don't like you. You're out of here. One man's trash is another man's treasure. All right, I'll marry you. No, you're out of here. See, women couldn't divorce men at that time, but men could divorce the woman. And maybe a guy proposed to her and she said, oh, I'm done with marriage. How many of y'all know that there are people today that are done with the incident? I'll never get married again. But I want the benefits. We keep it real, right, Kiki? That's the way the culture talks, so we got to minister to them. Listen, my friend, you're within my earshot. Jesus doesn't care where you've been, what you've done, how bad you did what you did when you did it. Or how many times you did it, how many times you got busted for it, come on, somebody. Listen, Jesus is all about changing lives for the better. And that woman was a trophy of Jesus' grace. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word. Lord God, we thank you that you love us. Thank you that you have a great plan for every single one of us, Lord. We entrust our lives to you, Lord Jesus. We pray, Father, for ministry of hope, that no matter who we are, where we've been, what we've done, how many times we've done it, Lord, there is hope in Jesus for a new life. In your name we pray, Lord God. Amen.